I reckon I know the story by now. Old-timers been telling you their whole life if they could do it again, they'd set out in the black and make a way. Knee-deep in the dust of Mars, or spend 5 years in the plutonian mines, enough to afford a claim on Phobos. Oceans of diamonds on Neptune, they tell you. Before the market crashed, they could have got enough to be a king. They could have been the first to set boots somewhere no one's been and dug up her treasures. What they ain't tell you is that was a fool's game 40 years ago, and it's even worse now. Ain't nowhere ain't got a flag. Ain't nowhere ain't worth something to somebody. Ain't want it taken from 'em. You want to pluck a diamond from the black, but all you're going to catch is lead. You want freedom, you can get a ship at your back, a crew on your wing, and a gun in your hand. Might be fortunes you're fixin', but it's to hell you ride.
Hi, I'm Kyellen, and I'm playing Pip Merriweather.
Hey, my name is Zad Kiel, and I'm playing Jacqueline Blackjack Blanchard.
Hi, I'm Benjamin, and I'm playing Killian Cannon.
I am Ray Mayhem, and I will be playing Captain Ann Bonnie.
And I'm Rabbit, the storyteller. All right, now, where were we? Oh, yeah. Jay the Fixer found himself in one dilly of a pickle. Now handcuffed to a righteously angry Bonnie, he's being drugged along to get her purloined ship before he loses his head. The rest of the crew, Killian, Jackie, and Pip, tag along to help and take bets on the ass-whooping Bonnie will soon dole out. All right, everybody, find yourselves on a shuttle down to the Mars surface. There's only one major city left on Mars, which was kind of the Galactic Authority's first attempt at terraforming a planet. It worked well for the first couple of decades, but in the decades upon decades upon decades since, it's turned into basically a giant dust bowl. The acrid red sand spread out as far as the eye can see. The one major city's under a partial bubble with some outskirts. The atmosphere is still breathable, but it has so much dust in it, a lot of people have a scarf or a mask over to kind of help out when the wind picks up. Aboard your shuttlecraft, Bonnie, you are still handcuffed to Che, and the rest of you are with her. And Che is going to speak up first. So, Bonnie, so what are the chances of me not getting killed today? Because I would really like to make my peace before I die, if that's going to happen.
Then it would be my suggestion that whatever being or force or capitalist ideal that you subscribe to, you should make yourself right now. Because if I don't get my ship back and they don't kill you, I will.
Okay. Well, I guess we're going to be landing here in a minute. And, hopefully we can get this settled out. I should probably tell you where the ship's at, right? And you're not allowed to get mad. So I'm already handcuffed to you, so you can't get mad again. It's wrong, and I'm being very cooperative right now.
I think Jackie checks the clip that she just finished loading and locks it in. Locks it in place and then looks back over to the fixer.
You know, I feel like I'm already pretty mad that we're heading down to this rock anyway. I think I've still got some sand left over in my boots from about 50 years ago. This shit never comes out.
Do people actually live here? Pip says, staring out the window at the dust bowl below. I live on a moon and there's less dust than this.
Can't exactly call it living.
For once, I agree that whatever they're doing here, it is definitely in existence, but they are not living.
So you arrive down at the spaceport that's just outside the main city, which is called Puro of Prospect. It is the kind of last major settlement. Everything else out from here is a lot of kind of outposts and stuff along trucking routes to be able to get to where they're mining, still mining metals out of the rocky planet deep below ground. The place basically exists to service the folks that have to live here permanently and get supplies out to the outpost so the miners have everything they need to be able to continue. As you're stepping off the lander and into just kind of a dusty lot where there's a couple cars parked and some low buildings around. This is obviously like kind of a shipping port that is for, you know, crew vehicles and stuff. It's not like a fancy place where, you know, the high-end travelers that are like the main business people would land. You get out and Jay goes, so, we need to go out to an outpost. It's called Decker. It was one of the old dry docks. I had it set up for you guys to be able to get the ship there. I was actually going to charter a shuttle to take us direct there, but I can't do that now. But if we just need to drive there. And this is the part where you can't get mad, Bonnie. And I guess the rest of you, including Jackie, it's about a 7-hour drive. Now, I know it's a long way, but it's either that or take a bus that takes about 12 hours.
Oh, did you hear that, Captain? He done saved us 5 hours.
I feel like, Jack, what's our comms situation? Like, what sort of, like, PDA thing do we have? Or do we? How lo-fi are we?
This is lo-fi enough that you can text onto your little communicators, and you can take phone calls and look up general information on what passes as the web.
These are basically like Game Boy size Nokias, right? Like that's the tech level we're working with.
Pretty much, like original Palm Pilot, only chunkier.
Oh man!
I love it.
Nice.
Does it have a stylus built in?
Yeah, but most of you have lost yours.
Yeah, Jackie reaches into her bag and pulls out a comic book.
So
Anne is busy like rubbing her temples, and she is very, very, very desperately trying not to be mad because she has learned that blood on Martian soil is very hard to detect, so it is really tempting for her just to like end this problem right here, but you know, she's trying to be mindful and in the moment, and looks at Che and says, please tell me that you at least have a vehicle chartered, or do I have to do that too?
I actually have a car. If you can unhandcuff me, I can go get it, because as soon as we have to go to where the parking garage is and people see me handcuffed to you, they're going to ask questions. You have to trust me, Bonnie. I didn't purposely screw you. Trust me. Please, for the love of every bit of credit in the universe, trust me.
She's going to take off the handcuffs, and as she is going to look at Jackie and say, Blackjack, I believe that you wanted to stretch your legs, didn't you? So why don't you accompany our friend to pick up our ride, just to make sure if he does decide to run, you'll be able to handle whatever distance he gets away from you.
Yeah, Jackie says, yeah, sure thing, boss. Slings her rifle over one shoulder, and actually like pulls the blackjack is like mag clipped to her belt. She pulls that off and just kind of starts, has it like kind of draped loosely around one hand, says, all right, Che, let's go get going. And shoves him kind of roughly out in front of her and, whistles a jaunty tune as they head off.
Che is still shaken and is going to lead you off to the parking garage.
I ain't never seen anyone so relentlessly upbeat while threatening to kill somebody. I just, it's uncanny.
You hear kind of Jackie as they're walking away say like, My Che, you've got such wonderful kneecaps. Be a real shame.
Miss Jackie, or BJ, or oh hell, whatever your name is, I'd like my kneecaps where they are. Please. Very, very much, please.
Well, they seem to be heading towards the vehicle that we're going towards, and that's a good place for them to be.
Yes, yes, they are. Yes.
Truly just, wonderful. Just how nice and intact they look right now.
Yeah, yep. And Che starts walking faster.
Bonnie is talking to Killian, and she's kind of like picking something out of her nails. And she's like, you're right, but I do enjoy how lighthearted she can be about murder. And that's really why I hired her. You know, I can be a bit much sometimes. So it felt like the true.
You know, I hadn't noticed. What about you, Pip? Have you noticed that our captain can be a bit much sometimes? Is that something that's come up?
Captain, are you really going to shoot that man?
I'm probably not, because bullets are expensive, but knives are reusable. But I hadn't gotten to the finer points of how. It was just committing to the fact of, yes, I am willing to kill him. He very much does get under my skin, Che does.
Captain, while we're waiting... Captain, while we're waiting, I gotta ask, what is your obsession with this ship anyway? You've dumped a lot of cash into getting one of these.
Killian, you of all people should know the power of sentimentality. And though I know that you believe I don't have a heart, what little bit I have that remains is very much moved by the memories of being young and unburdened by the reality of the universe.
So we're chasing a nostalgia dream.
We are not chasing nostalgia. We are upgrading our transportation situation.
Upgrade? This thing's like 80 years old. These models
as are you, and I still keep you on the payroll.
68, and I've so far made myself useful.
Pip, I think you get a text message at this point. I don't know what sound is your do you just have like the default set to it?
Yeah, it's just like bling. Cause he hasn't figured out how to, you know, set it.
You get a text message, you look down at your thing, it's from Jackie, and it says, have they kissed yet?
Oh my god.
he just like triple takes at his phone and then like tucks it away. Jackie says they're almost there.
So back to Jackie and Che. Just as you're getting up to like just a regular old parking garage, Che goes and pats his pockets and then sighs with relief and pulls out a set of car keys.
Jackie applauds. Jackie like tucks she tucks her like Palm Pilot underneath one elbow and like golf claps. The blackjack kind of dangling from her wrist.
For a second there, I thought I lost him when Captain Bonnie tackled me.
God, that would have been a bummer, huh?
I had a really... I think I have a concussion, Jack.
Oh, really, it would have been so funny to watch you try and steal your own car.
Yeah. The last time I did it, I wrecked it enough that I can't steal it again.
Steal somebody else's.
Making the battery... yeah, that would have been great,
man. No, this is good though. This is good, but much smoother here. I'm glad that things are going well for you thus far, Che.
Jackie's calm, like, makes the most non like boring tone, because that's what the captain has absolutely like insisted is the text tone, and she receives a message that says, no kneecapping, screaming attracts crowds. And there's like dot, 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 because of the last time that Jackie kneecapped somebody. And then we ended up with a bunch of witnesses.
You just get a frowny face back. Just like the quick frowny face emoticon.
Okay. Jackie, here's the car. And it's this just decrepit old sedan, four door. It looks like it is basically running out of just sheer luck at this point. There's rust, even though you wouldn't expect rust, but it rusted at some point. It's sandblasted all to hell. The front windshield's cracked through the middle, like diagonal through it. He goes, she's a little bit rough, but it'll get there. I at least put in back seats.
Oh, honey.
A while ago.
Don't worry, you'll get a better car once you graduate high school.
Thanks, Mom.
So, setting question. Is this a tank treads? Is it a hover car? How's it going to do Martian desert?
There's roads.
Oh, there's roads. Oh, I hadn't thought about roads. Good call.
Yeah. It's a decrepit old sedan with regular tread tires.
Wow.
From like what era? Like what shape are we talking? Are we talking like 1970s that it's like a boat, or is it like the early to mid 90s where everything was rounded? Everything looked like an Easter egg.
So it has the boat length quality of the 1960s with the subcompact narrowness of the 1980s.
Oh, wow.
It's a hot dog. It's a hot dog with a cracked windshield.
You don't need a very wide spot, but you do need like too long to be able to park.
Well, you know, the roads on Mars get caked with dust and it comes from the edges and work its way in. So you got to narrow up your vehicles, especially old decrepit sedans that could not probably handle going over sand dunes if they tried.
Sorry, Jackie gets a text message from Killian. I think we're gonna be doing this a lot now, aren't we?
It's gonna be a thing. Yeah.
Jackie gets a text message from Killian, and it just says Martian lunch, and then lunch near me, and then food stand Mars.
Jackie sends off a quick text that says hot singles in your area, reply 69 to get connected.
Killian's like staring at this giant Palm Pilot and he's like hunting and pecking into it. And then he looks over at Pip and he's like, this one's kind of new and it damn thing never worked. How the hell am I supposed to find any food around here?
I have no idea. They don't let us have these at home. This isn't mine.
Well, I ain't going to ask the captain, so I guess we're all just going to starve.
I guess we could ask Che. Maybe he'll know.
Okay, hold on. And then Jackie gets another text message that just says Che phone number.
Captain Bonnie hears this. Like, she's right there. She can hear this conversation. So she pulls, like, a little... like the MRE equivalent out of her bag and hands one to Pip and pulls one out for herself and starts opening it. And she pulls one out and like shakes it at Killian. And she's like, if you want, you can have this, or you can, you know, have the common decency to move one step closer to death by not eating, but that's your call.
Well, that depends. Is that chicken tetrazzini or beef and rice?
She looks at it and like her face falls because it's like the one good one. It's the beef taco one or the like pasta with meat sauce, like one of the good ones. And is like, no, this one is pasta and I know that you like this one. If you want, I can dig in and find you something a little more, maybe like tuna or something with more mercury in it, something like that.
Well, geez, Captain, you're awful generous. I'm not really in the mood for pasta with meat sauce with a side of spite. How about you just Pip, why don't you pass me over whatever you got in your hands and you can have the meat sauce one. How's that sound? And then if you keel over and die, then I'll know she's injected something into it.
Pip looks up where he has already like halfway through it and it's like just covered with it and like looks up.
All right, the meat sauce will do. Thank you, Captain.
So, as you guys are getting done having a snack, the decrepit hot dog wheel vehicle comes in.
Is it like actually like a Oscar Mayer Wienermobile?
That's what I can picture.
We were the planet was sponsored at one point. It was owned by Oscar Mayer.
God, Unilever locked down that very, very, very lucrative Mars license.
The make and model on this vehicle is the Renault Turbo. And just that, just Renault Turbo and nothing about its turbo. And Jay's driving as they pull up and goes, all right, hop in with the, I actually have a full tank of gas, so we'll be able to actually make it to like the midpoint pit stop where the trunks and cars kind of park at and stretch our legs and grab a bite to eat and we can get gas, or we can just get gas and go through if y'all want to hop in.
Well, you see Jackie is sitting with the, she's got her back against the dashboard and like one leg up draped over the car and over the chair, and the other one's kind of tucked up underneath her. And she's looking at, like, she's typing at something on her phone.
Well, sorry to say, Che, but you done missed lunch, so you're just going to have to be hungry today.
I lost my appetite a while ago.
Anne walks up through the window on Jackie's side and holds out her fist to play rock, paper, scissors, because this is something that they've done before, because they both enjoy being the point person behind a hostage. So their way of settling this is to rock, paper, scissors it, and the winner gets to choose where they sit, whether they're in the front or the back.
Okay. Do you want to, are we going?
Yeah,
we doing
ready?
This? Yeah.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Oof. Of course. Two scissors. Two scissors.
Of course.
Obviously.
Of course. Clearly. Ready?
Classic start.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Okay, you win. Do you want?
Yeah, Jackie never looked up from her phone, and she just like I think she glances over, sees the paper, switches it over to flip the captain off, and waves into the back, not moving.
Anne sits behind Che and does that annoying thing that kids do on airplanes and like wedges her knees up into his back in the seat and is going to periodically kick him as they drive.
Killian sits down next to Bonnie and then is like, all right, we're ready to go. Oh, I'm sorry, Pip. That's right. You're new here. Maybe you should climb aboard too.
Do you want me to ride on the roof?
All right, given that this car is long, is there also like an extra row of seats, or like is that all come together? No.
Three people have to cram into the back, or someone needs to go into the trunk.
He's gonna sit cupcake.
He's
gonna...
like eyeing the trunk.
Oh my gosh, do we see Pip kind of like taking like practice poses to see how he like have to like
contort himself? Am I gonna, how would I, with the...
You get a text. The text says, ride cupcake, it'll be hot. Those two need a chaperone, leave room for Jesus.
Eventually, he just kind of like climbs in next to Killian, but is only sort of half on the seat and is half in the well, the footwell beneath, and just sort of like huddles there.
So who's next to me? Is it Killian?
Am I getting wedged? Oh, this is going to be, this is
Pip's on the far side. Because Killian got in first, right? So now he's like on the door.
Killian, being 6 foot three and built like a laborer, can't sit, bitch, because he takes up a lot of space. So actually, you two are squeezed, and Killian's like man spreading in the middle seat.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Jackie grabs the bar, and you hear it like there's a rust, like a metallic, like as she actually like lifts the bar to move the seat, just like tucks one leg, like hooks the one leg over the headrest, and just scoots back to get a little bit more room. She's folded almost completely in half at this point and has to like hold her phone on the ceiling to see it, but otherwise seems unperturbed.
Chase picked up. Hey, Jackie, you're going to have to hold yourself still, because as soon as I start accelerating here, that seat might fly back.
Pip, just like, you hear him loudly brace his feet against the footwell up against the seat that Jackie's in. Like, just planting himself firm. It's okay. I got it.
All right. Thanks, good luck, buddy. And, and Shay, tries to ease onto the accelerator. This car's systems are so jacked that it lurches forward. Pip, go ahead, make a strength check for me.
Yep. All right.
Muscle. It's
roll.
Muscle.
Oh, yeah. Muscle.
I have zero, muscle. So let's see what happens.
Oh, no.
Here come the dice. 6 and 4, being 10. My God.
Nice.
Hey. So,
As she accelerates the vehicle, you feel the seat moving back, but you planted your feet down at the bottom to kind of jam up the runners, and were able to get the seat from slamming back into both you and Killian's knees. Well, your body and his knees.
Right.
And Jackie is exceedingly comfortable still.
Actually, not necessarily true, just sitting weird. But, you know... exceedingly comfortable might be a bit of a stretch.
So you guys start on down the road, and it was about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and you drive and drive and drive and drive, and finally the sun's gone down. You're kind of in just, you've been basically what's driving through Martian Nebraska. It is nothing but flat and brown. As far as the eye can see, you saw maybe 2 trucks coming the opposite direction. It is desolate. But out on the horizon, you see some glowing light. And Che speaks up and goes, "All right, here's our pit stop. It's Bonnie's Gas and Go. There's also a bar there. We can get out, stretch our legs, get some gas. Of course, I will pay for the gas, Bonnie. And then we can continue on our way."
"This a friend of yours, Captain?"
"I didn't know you owned a bar."
"Do I own a bar?"
"No, it is unrelated."
"No, it is." She's gonna rub the bridge of her nose and be like, "We go over this every single time we come across one of these. It is a different Bonnie family. They own them throughout the galaxy. It is no relation of—"
So Killian gets a smile on his face, like he's going to tell a joke that he's told 1,000 times that that Captain Bonnie absolutely hates. And then he looks over at Pip while he smiles, because now a new message. Person gets to hear it.
And he feels a tiny booted heel grinding into the top of his foot, because she knows it's coming. And like, this is his warning.
"Now, Captain, is this the kind of situation where if you meet someone else named Bonnie that you have to devour their face whole in order to assert dominance?"
An elbow comes flying right towards his nose. Like, she, like, trying to bring it.
Does this game permit PvP? I don't
know. Parties would like to, for the sake of story.
Well, I think, you know, Killian, sibling style, probably knows where the elbows come into and sort of has like a hand there to brace.
He's waiting for it.
So just as you're pulling up and Bonnie tries to throw a quick elbow to your face, Killian, she's done this probably about 36 times before. You just catch her elbow and tuck it back down to her side because you're kind of an immense man.
Not very strong. I think it's more of like a weepishly like leaning away and putting his hand up.
I have mass and just because you have fast hands, you just went up and tucked it in, kind of redirecting that energy back towards.
Remember, I don't have fast hands.
I don't have fast hands.
Never mind. I've been everywhere.
Yeah. Well, you've been so many times everywhere that you're able to definitely block an elbow to the face this time.
Fabulous. Agent experience.
So you arrive at Bonnie's Gas and Go, and Che pulls up to the pumps and goes, "All right, I'll go ahead and get her filled up. Do you guys want to stop and actually grab a quick bite to eat? I mean, we got another 4 hours to go. After I fill up, I'll park right there in front, and that way we can get out of here pretty quick."
Bonnie's just going to look around the vehicle at her crew and say, who's going to babysit? We're not leaving him alone. You know we can't leave him alone. We can't.
I'll keep an eye on Che. It's all right.
Good. Both of my problems in one place together. That makes it much easier on me. And she kicks the door open and signals for Pip to do the same. And she's like, "Come on, son. Let's go inside and try to make the best of not having to be so close to Killian for at least 5 minutes."
Sure, Jack. Captain. I actually have a question. Mr. Che said this car runs on gas. What's that?
She looks at him, and like for a brief second, you see a emotion flit through her eyes that isn't just like steely resolve. And if one was to interpret it, it would definitely be of the "oh baby" variety. And she looks at Pip and she's like, "You really, truly just came off your family's farm, didn't you?"
Yeah. Everything there is solar powered and it all runs on electricity. So I don't, what? Also, it smells terrible. So maybe you could explain.
It's a fossil fuel that was popular many, many, many years ago. It doesn't exist in great quantities anymore. And really, the race that used the most of it were humanoids on Earth. And some of them were prone to puffing the fumes to feel some sort of drug-like effect. And I think that's really all we need to say about life on Earth now, don't we? And she kind of like is trying to herd him into the gas station because she can hear Killian starting a story to Che that she's just like, "I've heard this one like 50 million times and I don't want to hear it again."
Interesting thing about gas huffing, Che. Let me tell you about this one.
Pip didn't catch any of the sarcasm, by the way. Pip didn't catch a bit of the sarcasm and only looks enlightened at this point and is just following along.
Killian, if you tell me about huffing gas again, I will lose my goddamn mind.
No, this one's different. This one's not about me huffing gas. That was an accident, by the way. This one's about a coworker of mine was caught huffing gas, and then here's kind of how all that went down. Story starts about 45 years ago. Now, I was new on the trucking lines.
Smash cut.
Che pulls out a penknife, like one that you can use to like maybe get the crap out of your fingers and open boxes, and is contemplating stabbing himself in the chest with it until he dies.
Killian,
smash cut over. As you enter the bar to grab yourself a bit to eat, I want you to go ahead and make me an observation check. And Pip, you get to roll this with the upper hand.
Oh, we all roll an observation?
Okay.
Yep, you're all wearing observation. That's 2d6, excuse me. And add up the total, eight or more gets it. Pip, you get to roll four dice, pick and three dice and pick two.
Three. Got it.
Jackie has rolled a nine.
Okay.
Nine.
I have rolled a 10.
Hey.
All right.
We're on it.
So as you step inside, Jackie B and Bonnie notice a couple kind of dudes that look a little bit out of place. They're kind of sitting on the left-hand side of the barn or kind of engaged in a conversation back and forth. They're wearing suits, but they're very worn. They're covered in dust. And they don't kind of match the kind of trucker clientele you would normally see. Pip, you've been around fixing things for so long that you smell a smell that you've only smelled a handful of times, but you know it. No one else knows it. It smells like any other type of oil or lubricant, but you smell a specific lubricant that is only used in the hydraulics used on spacecraft because it doesn't freeze at very, very low temperature and has a kind of a weird, sweet, acrid smell that only people like you that have kind of been, you know, elbows deep inside machinery know.
Where's that coming from? He says out loud because, of course. Don't you smell that? Oh. And like all of a sudden the self-awareness comes around. He leans in close to Jackie and says, "Any of these guys look like spacers to you?"
These guys look like spacers to us.
No, they don't look like spacers to you. They're out of place.
Right. And they're wearing suits as in like business suits, right?
Yeah.
No. Should they?
Somebody in here's been digging around in the guts of a spaceship.
Oh.
And for once it isn't me.
Bonnie hears this, and because her baby has been purloined from her, she's like just has like the mother's instinct that it has to do with her ship. And she's going to look at Pip and give him like it's the first time he's experiencing a look from her that's not softened or you know, like not looking at him like he's the intern because he came up with like an actual piece of something that they can work with. And she's going to look at him and say, I don't smell what you're smelling, and I don't see anyone that would fit that description, but I would very much like you to make your way through this bar and try to find where that smell is coming from.
Okay. Sure. And so he's going to attempt to look inconspicuous, which probably makes him look really nervous.
Being that you don't really have the savvy for stealth, I'm going to have you make a grit check to kind of get away with this. See if you kind of keep your stuff together as you're kind of sniffing around the bar being inconspicuous.
Sweet baby Pip, I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay. So I do have savvy too, but I agree that it's not really applicable here character-wise. Mm-hmm. So, all right, I'll do it with grit, which I do have a plus one on, so let's see what happens.
Right on.
6 and 4. That makes 11. Wow. Yeah. I'm keeping these dice around.
So as you're kind of just kind of browsing around the bar, you actually play it solidly cool. You kind of just look like a young kid that probably is works as a mechanic tradesman for any one of the trucking companies. And you're probably with the folks that came in and you pop around the bar, go back to where this old weird jukebox is and kind of browse around, and then you smell it. It's coming from the two suited guys that are kind of sitting down to have some. They just started their meal and are kind of talking quietly back and forth to each other.
Okay, well then I'll slink back up to the captain and be like, "It's those two weirdos in the corner, Captain." I'm sure of it.
How are they sitting at their booth or table? What's the configuration?
They're sitting across from each other in a booth.
In a booth?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So without saying a word, she's going to look at Jackie and nod, and this is like a practice thing that they have done before, and they're going to go over and slide in one on each side, so they're blocking the end of these businessmen, and with the most charming and unsettling smile that you've ever seen, Captain Bonnie is going to look at them and say, greetings, gentlemen. I cannot help but notice that you are not dressed like spacers, but you do smell like them. So please assuage my curiosity and tell me why that is.
And now we're going to cut back to Che and Killian. Che has just finally finished up feeling up the vehicle, and they just kind of pull the car up to parking that's right in front of the building.
Now, hold up. I'm just getting to the good part. Anyway, so they find him washed up on Tychus, and it's been about 3 damn days. And what had happened is he'd actually fallen in with some raiders, but ain't know it. He just thought it was it was like a really rowdy frat. So they tossed him as a stowaway, and somehow he survived outside of the bubble for 4 days on used oxygen containers and some plastic wrap that he had found and put himself in. Now, he was severely dehydrated, so they got him in and got him some fluids. You'll never guess. You'll never guess who one of the raiders was. You'll never guess.
Jack Bigsby?
No, it wasn't Jack Bigsby. God damn it. It was his own brother. His own brother doesn't even recognize him. It had been 15 years. Anyway, that reminds me of a different story. So,
and Killian, I want you to go ahead and make an observation check. And actually, I want you to do this against the odds. So roll 3, pick, get rid of the highest.
That's a 5, a big old fail.
Big old fail. Okay. Where we last left off, Jackie and Bonnie had just slid into the booth. I'm assuming you've two kind of drawn up your weapons and kind of tucked them underneath your arms and shoved them in the sides of like two mobsters.
No. I'm flirting with mine. I mean, I've got like one hand is kind of tracing his tie. The other hand is on the blackjack and it's about to swing it around and knock him in the gut. But okay. I have a free hand that I am using to tease him.
So you slide in after Bonnie gives a very chilling introduction to herself and you. And the mobster goes, "What? Hang on. Whoa. Who are you?"
Bonnie, knowing exactly what she's cueing on, is gonna look at Jackie and be like, "Jackie, darling, I believe they're talking to you. They want to know who you are."
I think, yeah, like Jackie B, like she runs her, she kind of like walks her fingers up the tie, traces one hand over to like kind of draws it across his chest, and says, "Well, I'm Jackie B, baby, and I'm gonna assume that he's got like a gun like on a shoulder holster inside his jacket, and I'm going to try and reach for that. If I can just make this assumption,
you know,
or would I be able to spot one?"
Well, you know well enough. Basically, after you've been kind of rubbing on the guy, that you felt the shoulder holster leather like over the shoulder. So if you want to make a, you know what, I'll let you do a savvy roll to try to grab the gun and plant it into his gut. That way he doesn't try to reach for it.
That's the one that I'm good at.
Mm-hmm.
I just rolled 2 6s.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So that is a 14 total for a savvy check, which means that I have this guy's gun.
Yeah. So You sit next to the one, and he kind of has his hands up because obviously this is a shakedown. And before he can even react, you've grabbed the gun and put it right against his sternum. And he's just like, okay, all right, all right. Let's not be hasty here. What do you want? We're trying to have a business meeting. And we've never seen yous before, so what's up?
First of all, these gangsters. So good. Just... Second of all, do they give the impression, as you know, like some people, if they're part of a very powerful organization, you can kind of like sense that about them. Do they give the sense of that, or do they give a small time vibe?
They give kind of a medium time vibe. You can tell that these guys, their suits, they're lower level guys.
Okay.
And that's obviously pointed out by the fact their suits are kind of frayed, and they've been apparently out doing shit duty in the Martian dust, as opposed to probably hanging back over at the Pavlov settlement.
What is like the specific, because I don't think we nailed it down, what is the specific like model of this ship?
Of your ship?
Mm-hmm.
I thought we went with the kind of triangular thing where
it is. I didn't know if you gave it a name or something. Oh. You know, like,
okay.
Oh, like that's like, oh, it, it. Like the it. T-28. Yeah.
You know what? I'll let you come up with the model. What do you want the model name to be known as?
Authority Dreadnought type.
How about like an an L-10 ransom class gunship.
Ooh.
Oh yeah.
Ransom class. Yes. Alphabet. Yes. Yes. That was Javer Belgian talking. If anyone.
That's me, baby.
So what was it again? The
L-10 ransom class gunship.
L-10 ransom class gunship. So, mm-hmm. Anne's gonna look between the one that's by her and the one that Jackie is both turning on and making very concerned, and say, "I very much, for your sake, hope that the answer to the following question is true. Because if I find out that you're lying, I will remove each of your molars and make you swallow them. So, have you recently apprehended a ship that does not belong to you, that would be, you know, something in the L-10 arsenal class?"
"Don't know what you're talking about, lady."
She is absolutely going to reach down and like grab him by his man parts and twist.
He winces, and you can see him kind of grind his teeth, but he turns and looks at you and goes, "I don't know what you're talking about, lady. How about you go and step outside and fuck off?"
Can I savvy read him to see if he's telling the truth or not? Can I tell?
Can I savvy read him to see if he's telling the truth or not?
Yeah, Pip, I don't think you could because you're such a young buck. But
that's fair.
Either Jackie or Capt can go ahead and run a savvy check.
I got a 6 and a 6 and plus 2, 14, bitch.
Wow. Rage dice
all night. Dice, man. These dice.
I'm using the gayest dice I have. I think that's what's like rolling in my favor.
There we go.
That's the answer. Mystery solved.
So, you know he's lying, but he's lying by not telling you anything. He's very well trained.
Lie by omission.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jackie sort of interjects here and says, like, okay, is it really worth all that then? to not say anything.
The other tough that's next to you goes, "No matter what you do to us, it can't be much worse." And he holds up a hand and he's missing 1.5 fingers on it.
Yeah.
Anne's gonna call across because Pip is an engineer, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. She's gonna call across the bar where there's probably obviously other people. I imagine like a horror-struck family that like had gone to see like grandma and like they stopped for lunch and like
right now, you haven't created too much of a ruckus that people are kind of taking notice. They just seem that they're kind of, if they were to look over right now, it would look a little bit out of sorts, but you haven't made any noise. And these people are, you know, they're working for a living. They're not paying attention to nothing.
Yeah. Right now. I think Jackie actually says,
you do have the feeling though, if you went loud, shit would get really, really chaotic really fast.
I think Jackie actually she looks at the guy's mutilated hand and says, "Oh, poor baby, your boss sucks."
Don't know what you're talking about, lady.
Fine.
I mean, she's saying that this was a sloppy removal work. We can at least make it cleaner or slower. The answer is that we can do better. Pip, darling, come here.
Yes, and Captain, and yeah. He like comes closer, but is clearly like mega flop sweat underneath that cap.
And she's giving him like this very sweet face because like baby, let's ease him into this. Pip, would you happen to have a pair of pliers on your person?
And he pulls out his Leatherman. Because of course he's an engineer, so that's his other thing. And he flips it open and says, "I mean, I don't go anywhere without my tools, Captain."
And she holds out her hand for the Leatherman, and has it with like the pliers open, and is looking between the two guys. And she says, "Now I will give you a choice. Would you like to swallow your own molars, or would you like to swallow each other's molars?"
Killian, go ahead and roll me an observation check and have the upper hand this time. Do that first and then we'll give a description here.
Nine.
So you're about to start in again about how your friend was huffing gasoline. And then you spot it. Obviously, something's going down. You see Bonnie and Jackie sitting next to two guys in suits and Pip handing her a pair of pliers.
Oh. Killian strides on over, one hand on the gun underneath his coat, and he sets his other hand on Pip's shoulders as he's handing the pliers over, and he's like, "Pip, son, how about you be a lad and just ask those kindly folk at that table right next to there if they would give up their seats for us?"
And he just like flinches as Killian's monster hands land on his shoulders. sure, Mr. Cannon, of course.
Mm-hmm. Just be insistent but polite, okay? Right? You got it?
Right, got it. Mm-hmm.
So, Pip, you turn and realize there's no one kind of sitting over here in these booths next to the window. But you do spot Che, who looks to be slightly frozen in fear, near the entrance.
Oh, I wanted to put him at like a freestanding table in case we need to flip it.
Oh, yeah, you could.
Yeah. That's where. Yeah.
So, Pip, turning to that table, looks at Che, and looks back at Killian, and like here, and on his own volition, walks over to Che, grabs him by the wrist, and says, "Hey, Mr. Che, sit here with me," and sits him down at the table.
Okay.
Killian kind of nods over at the captain. Ma'am, are these men bothering you?
She looks at Killian and is for like she is begrudgingly glad to see him because he is good at his job and he is good at what he does and is going to be better assistance than Pip. But then she's also like pissed that she's happy to see him because, like, she knows that he read that. And she's like, God, never going to hear the end of this. And she's taking a deep breath and says, actually, Killian, I believe that these are the men that borrowed our new ship. And I'm just trying to find out where they're keeping.
Well, if I may extend to these gentlemen my most gracious thanks at taking care of our ship for us. And how lovely of them to see it swiftly returned.
We all know what you're talking about, Jack.
I don't know, Captain. It seems like they don't know what we're talking about. Also, my name ain't Jack. It's Killian Cannon.
Okay, Steve, says the other one.
Wow.
Ooh, I'm going to... Ooh, can I use I've Been Everywhere?
If you'd like. How are you going to use it?
One of them knows who I am.
All right.
Yes!
That's the only time I get to use it on Mars, but this is worth it.
Okay, so he knows you. And we'll make it the second guy who said Steve, and then he'll turn. But how does he know you? Under what circumstances?
This would have been from my union busting days. This was when I was like at the peak of my head cracking.
Oh, the ultra violence.
Yeah, this is when it was real dark.
Okay. Been a bad Killian Cannon.
Yeah.
The second guy goes, whatever you say, Steve, and then looks up and then goes, oh, shit. Mr. Cannon, so lovely to see you again.
I'm afraid I don't know you, son.
I like that you don't know my name, sir.
Oh, it's sir now. Well, we've gotten awful polite, haven't we?
Yep. And you should know that I don't know nothing.
Right.
And remember, you've dealt with these guys before. They're with the Ladra de Navi syndicate. They steal ships and hork them off real fast.
Ladra de Navi?
Ladra de Navi.
Right. You don't know nothing. And in fact, we didn't meet here. Right? So, that none of this is all happening in a liminal dreamscape.
Yeah, I'm just having a dream back to when I saw you beat that dude's head in.
Which
remember
one?
When we hired you? You liked that money. Perhaps some more money in the future? And the guy across the table kind of clues on this. Obviously you're a working man and you work for pay.
Well, right now I work for a captain. And that captain happens to have her eyes set on a certain object, for which, I'll remind you, she's already paid. Killian casts like a sidelong glance over at Che.
Oh, the fixer. Yeah. He shouldn't have got drunk and mouthed about where he had a ship sitting at. Tough for him.
Oh, heck. You know what? I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that. But say someone did know something, hypothetically. I'm going to create a hypothetical situation for you. Say someone, maybe in your organization, maybe not, plausible deniability, someone did know something. Where might we go and have a conversation with that individual? Or, better yet, where might we go and catch him off guard?
Like I said before, Mr. Cannon, we don't know nothing.
He can say anything else, Anne Bonnie's going to grab the back of his head and smash it off the table.
There it is.
That's the good stuff.
And roll me an attack.
Is that just 2d6?
That would be 3d6.
I'm going to ask a bunch of these questions. I'm sorry.
That's mm-hmm. fine. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A 5, a 6, and a 6.
Oh, damn.
I'll show you if you want to see it. There's a 5, a 6, and a 6.
I'll take your word for it. But, obviously your intention's not to kill this man. So, you smash the guy you're next to's face down into the table. And give me a second.
And I want to catch him right here.
Yeah,
you
got on the nose. He's he's dazed and kind of slipped back, and he's kind of out of it right now.
Killian looks over at the other guy. Now, say hypothetically, I'm going to build ourselves a hypothetical situation. Say, given that you don't know anything, someone did, where might we find that person? And then he's going to show the gat.
And before the other guy who recognizes Killian can say anything, she's going to look him straight in the eye and say, I will be kind and give you one small piece of advice before you answer, which is, between Killian Cannon and myself, he is the far more merciful and stable. So choose your words wisely.
Do you happen to have anything for a gambit for intimidation?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay, I want you to go ahead and roll me a savvy check with upper hand.
Two sixes and plus two, so 14.
Damn! Dude, what is like happening fire. Tonight?
Like, this luck is going to turn in the worst.
Yeah, this is going to get bad. Once we have to start firing guns, man, we're going to be in trouble. So,
Killian, what was it that you were asking again? Because you got me angry.
Well, what I'm looking for is the location of the rebel base, basically. Okay. That's what he's asking on.
So, obviously you didn't hear it from anyone, right? No one?
Nope.
No one.
We didn't even need gas. We brought 7 hours worth.
Yeah. Yeah, I never even saw you when you're here. Would you happen to have a pen on you? Just hand me.
I do. Pip runs over. He like the chair almost falls, and he like races over to the table. This is his moment to shine, and he produces a very nice one of those space ink pens. I use this to take notes on, and then like looks around at the situation again, and yeah, got it.
He grabs a napkin. And writes down, that's, probably where it'd be. And Che, I'm guessing, is probably over there by now. And went, yeah, that's where I was taking you guys.
So, if we were to hypothetically go to this place and retrieve our property, what kind of situation are we looking at?
Well, and actually, I'm going to have him roll to see. Basically, this is going to be whether or not things get really loud, or if they have to. Well, I wouldn't know nothing about that, now would I?
He feels the unmistakable shape and heft and metal coolness of two barrels being pressed against his femoral artery under the table.
Roll an intimidate check, and I will give you a upper hand again.
3 and a 5, so 8.
So you pass. Okay. So, right now, it's late at night. There's only a couple of gods there, but the crew we sold your ship to is there doing final preparations in the morning when the money changes hands with the boss. Now, they ain't gonna be there all night. Ship was already in pretty good shape. Your boy Jay there had some actually decent mechanics working on it, right? So, some point, they might fuck off for a bit. I don't know when. It's a bunch of spacers working on a craft. They could end up getting shit-faced there and end up passing out all around the ship, or they could call an early night and fuck off. I don't know how people work, but I do know our two guys are there. Their folks are there right now.
I think Jackie, we hear all this. Jackie looks, kind of takes the temperature of the captain and of Killian, and then just like reaches into this guy's pocket and pulls out his phone, and then like pulls the battery out and drops the battery into a cup of coffee that's sitting on the table, and then just kind of tosses the phone back to him, cracks open the, I'm picturing the gun that she stole is like a snub-nosed revolver, I think she like flips it open, dumps the bullets into her hand, puts those in her pocket, and leaves it on the table.
Did you really have to nuke?
What was that?
Did you really have to nuke my phone's battery?
Well, do you know how I mean,
this model on this fucking rock.
Checks the phone, sees that it's an Apple, realizes that it is actually impossible to get a replacement battery, and winces. Ooh. that's expensive. Well, couldn't have you telling on us. Captain, do you mind? And just like reaches, like goes over the table, like leans over the table to go and do the same to the other guy's phone.
And helping her out, Anne will like quickly pat this guy's front down and pull it out and hand it to Jackie and be like, of course not.
Excellent. Sick. Just cracks it open, nukes the battery, like, does basically, you know, adds that battery to the coffee cup. I think grabs the other coffee cup that's on the table and drinks, like just drinks the rest of the coffee. and yeah, like reattaches Leather Daddy to her belt. And it's like, well, are we ready to go?
Oh, sorry. Pip like leans over the table. I'm going to need that back and just like plucks his pen back.
Just as you're doing that, the guy you kind of knocked the hell out is kind of coming to and goes, and this is the guy that doesn't know you. You're going to fucking regret all this. You hear me? I'm going to get you.
Jackie ruffles his hair a little bit.
And then kind of.
Oh.
He kind of pukes a bit from having a severe concussion.
Anne is just going to reach over and like do the like ninja pinch thing on the nerve in his neck that just makes him pass out. She doesn't like this guy.
And he kind of just goes over. If only we had a ship's engine to kick him into.
So, Mr. Cannon, if you wouldn't mind getting the hell out of here before I try real hard to get my buddy back to our room. And this never happened.
Oh, I'm afraid I'm not in charge here. You'll have to politely ask my captain.
Emphasis on the politely, and I will let you know that your battery is the least of your worries, because if it were up to me, I would be cracking your chest open and dunking your heart in the coffee. It is just because I like Jackie so much that I let her do that instead of me going first. So you're going to keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. So the only thing I have to say is, as he holds up his hand with 3.5 fingers on it, I'm going to probably die doing this. So I have to skip fucking town. So hopefully you get your ship before they get me. And he's actually going to push Jackie out of the way, get up, and just start walking out of the place, leaving his buddy there.
Do you want me to stop? Do you want me to stop? Okay.
Let him go, Pip. It's okay. Unfortunate. You know, we happen to have a ship lined up. We could have given him a ride somewhere.
Yeah. I hope he travels safe and finds a boss that doesn't suck so much.
Well, he's not going to find one here.
I'm going to find him and take the rest of those fingers someday, but that's a tomorrow problem. Come on. And she like takes every like gathers everybody up and heads back out to the car. Like this horrifically violent incident did not just happen.
I think Jackie opens the passenger door of the car for you. Because I got the first half of the ride and you get the second half of the ride up front.
And Bonnie is so tiny that she's like amazed by the spaciousness in the front seat. Oh, so much room for activities.
All right. Jay's like, all right, I guess we got everything we need. I just had a slice of pie while you were beating that poor man to near death. Okay, let's go ahead and go.
Puts the keys I kind of lost track of some of that conversation after he said that the money hasn't been exchanged yet. Did you happen to catch that, ma'am?
Oh, I definitely did. And Che, she turns and looks at him. If I find out that you double-crossed me to double-dip and you had something to do with this, I am going to dismantle you piece by piece. And there will not be one single shred of your DNA large enough left for anyone to identify you. Do you understand me?
I didn't sell your ship from underneath you. I know better. They nicked it from me.
Don't mind her, Che. The captain's just upset that she didn't get to play dentist in the middle of a crowded bar.
Yeah, that would have ended poorly for everyone, I feel. You know, like, people here are the rough and tumble variety, and they like it when it's quiet. That would have gone bad, I feel. And he kind of turns the key, and the engine kind of sputters, and he, like, pounds the dash and turns it over again, and the car kind of suffers itself into being and starts driving down the road.